You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, and co-host Keelan Harvey on Alternative Talk AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage experts Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
Welcome back to The Money Hour on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, June 8th show. I am your co-host, Keelan Harvey. And if you've been listening up, Tina Mitchell, our host, is in Cabo, everybody. But the good information goes on. So we are your local mortgage experts. It's a great day to talk about money. And that's what the show's all about, how to make money, save money, and build a better quality of life for you and your family. If you're hearing our show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but we are here to answer any questions or connect you with the guests we have on the show today. Please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. That's 1-855-400-1150, or visit online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, we had Vincent Humphrey and Joe Townsley with Vincent Humphrey of Humphrey & Associates, Costly Mistakes in Your Divorce Case. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hello, sir.
Thank you.
Whoa. Well, thank you guys for coming. If you have any questions for my guests in studio today, please call the show at 855-400-1150 or visit the online at themoneyhour.com. So where do we start, guys? Divorce. This is a pretty touchy subject for some, more than others, but costly mistakes in your divorce. Let me ask you right out of the gate. What do you guys think is like the biggest contributor to losing money if you're going through this divorce? Because that's what a lot of people think about, right? Divorce, you think money and, you know, and the heartbreak, and you're going your separate ways, and you guys have amassed a fortune possibly, or an estate, who knows, together. Where do we go from here?
Right. And I think at least, you know, what I've seen is just unrealistic expectations is one of the easiest ways to mismanage the money that you have put forward for your divorce, whether it be, oh, you know, I think this is going to be simple. You know, we see eye to eye. And a lot of times that's kind of the stem of the problem right there is your perspective is more likely than not off in some fashion to the other side, to put it delicately. Absolutely. I don't know. Vincent, do you have anything else for that one?
I think so. I think what you will find in a lot of what we're going to talk about today is communication and the lack thereof, and that leads to really unparalleled and unrealistic alignment with what you're wanting and that reality.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you think about it too, you know, breaking down in marriages, a lot of time it's that breaking down of communication, right? And so by that point, it's probably at a pretty sour place, right, when you're making this decision, and you might have that emotional scorn or like resentment, and you like want to get back at this person by any way possible, unfortunately. Is that what you guys see?
All the time. Mm-hmm. I do.
Definitely so.
So it makes sense for people to be like emotionally upset and for that to come into play in these scenarios. How should a person interact with their lawyer, though? You guys didn't do anything.
Right. You know what? Thank you for saying that. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I think some of the listeners or I won't say our current clients, but maybe prospective clients, understanding that we're here to help, that we are on your side in some fashion. But one of the things that we do at our office that I wish other offices and specifically law firms would do the same, would understand that it is emotional, that there are a lot of things that are happening really outside of the law, but trying to remain objective. I mean, these are things that you learn in law school and as you're studying for the bar exam. And I think some lose that perspective that there is a certain element here that you have to be aware of. But beyond that, I would say that from a client's perspective, wanting to engage with your lawyer that way can be a real big mistake. And the mistake is that we are your advocates. We are on your side. As such, we will do what we can to take your emotions, your thoughts, your opinions, and make that digestible. Not only to the other side or the other attorney, but also the judge or judicial officer that may be at play here. And so sending multiple emails or calling every other hour doesn't help you, because we bill for each one of those interactions. Not all lawyers. Some are kind of fixed costs all the way so, but in your more traditional sense, it's costing you. And so that emotion, a lot of our clients, we say, you know, it's good to get help. Talk to a friend, a pastor, a counselor, or somebody else that can help deal with the emotional trauma, because it's part of it. As you said earlier, you were severing one of the closest relationships, if not the closest relationship that you have on this world.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, as far as your guys' experience, Vincent and Joe, I mean, are people reasonable when they're reaching out? Or is it like everybody's just crazy demands and it's like, go to this extreme and meet me in the middle type thing? Like, how does that interaction usually play out with you guys?
Well, I will say, I think reasonableness is definitely a perspective. I'm sure everybody comes to the table saying, I'm trying to be reasonable. They're not doing, you know, fill in the blank there.
Yeah.
And it's really, I think it's important to set goals for yourself. You know, if your children, if you have children are most important to you, that helps calibrate kind of where you want to go with the divorce. And sometimes it's just trying to meet a meeting of the minds, if you will, trying to figure out where they are coming from. Because like I said, it's perspective, absolutely mm-hmm. so perspective. And if you can get some overlap, it takes two to tango. You know, you can't go one direction with your divorce because you want to. You're going to have to do it together. And if you don't, kind of what Vincent mentioned earlier, there's a positive correlation between kind of spite and vindictiveness and cost.
Yeah.
It'll go together.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, is it helpful to speak to your partner in these when this stuff's going on, or do you recommend that they don't? I mean, what's the correct course of action with your significant other?
I would say, and I say this a lot to our clients, that absolutely start there. And I think what a lot of people do when they're facing these situations is they want to solve it. They understand what they are wanting. But they want to go straight to problem solving, which makes sense in a healthy marriage that you are problem solving together. It doesn't work so well in certain instances if there's even some modicum of conflict when you're divorcing. So what we typically tell our clients or prospective clients or even listeners now that are out there that may be facing this situation is to talk to the other side to help calibrate, as Joe was saying. That way you understand, because you already know what you want, but you may not know succinctly where the other side is coming from. If you can gain that perspective, you just saved yourself hundreds, if not thousands of dollars before engaging any sort of legal professional. Because as your advocate, we can find out what the other side wants. There's mechanisms that we have, but those mechanisms are costly and they take a lot of time to work out. And I think that's one of the other things that's underlying here is just the time. The effort, I think, to a certain extent is understood, but maybe not the timing. And that timing does come at a cost, and not just financially, but stress. Having to go to work, unless this is what you do, I do it as well as Joe.
Yeah.
Most of the time, this is not what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something weighing on your mind, and there's deadlines and all sorts of other sorts of external pressures that are laid on top of just the emotional aspects of what we're talking about.
That makes a lot of sense. And you mentioned before, Vincent and Joe, about deadlines. So it seems very important, obviously, with what we're talking about here and how this goes. Does it cost more when you don't listen to your lawyer's deadlines? Or even if the court says that you have more time? I mean, I'm sure it's important to follow your lead on that, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you can think of it kind of, in school, you know, you have a test or a paper due, and a lot of times you end up working right up to that deadline, but you turn it in the next day, right? If your lawyer gives you those, it's because it's likely several days, if not weeks, before the court's deadlines. So you have some buffer room to work out some kinks or some details. But when you blow past your attorney's deadlines, you're in a really bad position, not only for, your attorney, but the court, because the court sets these deadlines. And so your attorney, like Vincent said, is your advocate. And if they provide you with a time frame by which to do certain things, prepare certain documents, you've got to respect those. Otherwise, you're in a world of hurt, not only from your attorney, but then the court wants to know what's going on.
Well, and I mean, at the end of the day, you guys are the professionals, and we're talking about a lot on the line here. You know,
yeah.
You guys built a life together. Maybe there's houses, there's kids involved, you know, and the courts don't care. The courts, they do this on a daily basis, and they don't care about your sob story at the end of the day.
At all. All right, just throwing that in there. At all.
Not in the slightest. It doesn't matter if you ran out of gas. They really don't
care.
It's over. It's a done deal. So if you're paying your professionals, listen to them and follow their lead by all means. You're not the expert, and
please.
as far as we try to be, right? So speaking of, how do your retainers go by so fast?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because this question comes up a lot. It comes up, especially after invoicing, right?
Yeah, like, wait a second. No, I'm just a trainer, guys. There's still a lot of spend there, right?
Exactly. And one of the things that we've adopted is likening retainers to gas in a car. Most people have never interacted with a professional that is getting paid on an hourly rate or on a basis that way. You may have maybe, let's say, a tax professional or an accountant, and there's maybe a couple hours. But when you're going through a divorce, especially if there's large estates or if there's children involved, then what you want to do is be very mindful of that. So typically, the retainer, the way that we sort of analogize that is with gas in the car tank, that the money that you give your lawyer up front is gas in the tank, right? If it's a Prius, it's going to cost a certain amount. If it is a Ford F-150 from the 90s, it's going to cost something very different to fill that up. Or maybe the Hummer would probably be a better analogy there. So it fills it up. But as you know, every time you interact with your car, it uses a little bit of gas. Yeah. So if you're flooring it, it's going to use more. If you're using just a little bit in terms of stalling out, maybe at a stop sign or something like that, maybe not as much. But every single time you put the key in the ignition and turn it on, it's using at least a little bit. Yeah. And then where attorneys come in is we have our hourly rates. Now, we don't post those online, right? And so, because we want you to call, I guess, for some, and others don't want, I guess, kind of the public at large to know, but it is understood that there's hourly rates, and those rates vary. And those hourly rates really function more like the miles to the gallon. Mm-hmm. And we bill in tenth of an hour increments. And again, this is more of a traditional sort of scenario, but just speaking of it through that lens, we'll just use something like if it was $200 an hour, for instance, it's 6 minutes or less, you send an email, that's $20, mm-hmm. right? And if we reply to that email, you say, hey, Vincent, thanks for being on the show. Well, thank you, Keelan, that was $20.
Oh, man, yeah, right? This show's cost me a lot.
I had a great time. thanks, can I come back? Now we're at $40. And you say, yeah, no, I think that'd be great. How does August look? Now we're at $60, and that was our interaction. Potentially, right? Different attorneys, I can't speak for them all, but just kind of more from a general perspective, you can see how quickly you can go through something. And that's not court time, right? If we were in court together talking about how wonderful the show was, that can be anywhere from a couple hours to multiple hours. And all of that comes outside of that initial deposit that you put down. And just like in any car, once you get low, we're going to send you an email, give you a call and say, hey, buddy, if we're going to drive over to Cabo to go see Tina, we're going to need you to fill this up pretty heftily, especially because we're in this old Hummer here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you run out of gas, you know, the only way to get your car going again is to put more gas in it. I hate to say
That's
it,
right.
But you know what? Your time's valuable, though, guys. And, you know, and spending that time on an individual, you know, this is you've put a lot of your own blood, sweat and tears into every moment and all the advice that you're giving people. So it's only fair that you get compensated, right?
I think so.
So how involved should a person be with their case? Like, I would imagine you get those go-getter guys, like those type A's who are like, no, I'll do this myself, like, you know, type thing. And it's probably got to be a little bit of a dynamic there on kind of who takes the lead and that kind of thing.
Definitely. And, you know, I would say that it's really nice to have a client who maybe not, you know, the hyperactive one, but definitely the one who's involved and who shows attention to not only the case management, but the productivity and what we can do. And because on the flip side, we really cannot care more than the client does. And it can be frustrating at times because sometimes people just want you to handle it. You know, they just, hey, take this. I don't want to deal with it. File what you need to file. Send the email you need to send. Just let me know when I'm done. And that can be counterproductive, absolutely, because at the end of the day, this is your divorce or your custody proceeding or whatever brought you to our office, and we care only as much as you do. And I think, you know, for everybody listening, I think that's really important to remember is, you know, you put the gas in the tank and you go, but you're driving the car, you know, your attorney's there with you, but you've got to be attentive to the direction you're going and how far you want to go.
Gotcha. I mean, is it worth trying to settle?
Always.
Is it?
Always. I mean, I know we're just about at time, but a little bit of communication and trying. Most cases do. I think it's not quite 100%, obviously, but really close to that, upwards of 95%. So if you can communicate, work to resolve.
Gotcha. Well, we got to go on break, guys. But before we go, is there any other last tips that you give people?
I would say that know that this is your case, as Joe was saying. Be mindful of the communications that you are having and do what you can to get the support that you need outside of your lawyer as well to take care of the externals.
That makes a lot of sense. That's awesome. Well, Joe, Vincent, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure, and we look forward to having you guys back.
Thank you.
Send it in an email.
not for $20, Vincent. $20.
No, that wasn't my rate. That was just an example.
I love it. Thanks, guys, again.
Thanks for having us.
Coming up next on The Money Hour, The Mindset Effect with Susan Palmer Wood, right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.